Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a former strategy consultant, parallel parking expert, and an entrepreneur. After graduating from university, he went to work as a senior consultant. While working across a variety of industries, he could see a number of challenges and opportunities taking place within the traditional design industry. So he had an idea to solve these challenges. Once his co-founder had built the prototype for the website, he quit his job, moved back in with his parents, and started working full-time on DesignCrowd. This was September 2007. Before officially launching the site in early 2008. In 2009, DesignCrowd received $300,000 from angel investors and have since raised a further $12 million in venture capital. Today, DesignCrowd has 50 staff across offices in Sydney, Manila, and San Francisco, has over 500,000 registered designers, and almost $20 million in annual revenue. Now, let's hack Alec Lynch. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Snappa, the fastest way for entrepreneurs to create graphics. Getting your business up and running is hard, and growing it is another hurdle altogether. It seems like we never have enough time to do all the things we know we should be doing in our businesses, the things that matter, things that will help us stand out and grow. Creating awesome Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest images will allow your business and your message to go wide and find your true fans and customers. But creating images that look great and get shared is hard and time-consuming. That's why Snappa was built to save you time. It's the key benefit for busy marketers and entrepreneurs who don't want to get bogged down in graphic design creation, which isn't their primary job. And in addition to being super fast, they've implemented time-saving features like image resizing and direct to social media posting. This will make your graphic creation as quick as possible. Plus, Snappa was created for non-designers, so they've made it incredibly easy to use and have eliminated the learning curve expected with design apps like Photoshop. And everything is included. Snappa comes fully equipped with a massive library of beautiful free stock photos, graphics, and fonts. Everything included in Snappa is 100% royalty-free and licensed for commercial use. There's no added costs whatsoever. As a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, right now you can try out Snappa absolutely for free for 14 days, no credit card necessary. Go to Snappa, snappa.io/hack, and make 2017 the year you start looking like the real business that you are. Stop wasting time. Use Snappa. Go to snappa.io/hack and get started today. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Alec, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. So what do you say?
I hope so too.
Should we jump into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Excellent. Alec, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
So if I had to, I guess, think of, label what my biggest strength or like superpower, if you will, would be, I think it's basically boils down to having ideas. And that, I guess I'd like to think that DesignCrowd is just the business I run now is based off fundamentally a good idea, but kind of month to month, week to week, I think that I feel like I'm pretty good at coming up with ideas, whether they be solutions to problems, ideas that help us achieve a goal, such as growing the business in a certain way or improving profitability. I feel like that's been a real kind of strength of mine. And I think the way that translates into something concrete and a habit for myself has become through planning And at a daily level, one of the habits that I have is every morning I'll write a to-do list of at least 6 things for the day. So I'm kind of planning out my day in that respect. But on a longer, I guess from a longer time frame perspective, every quarter we have a really good habit internally in the business of refreshing our strategic plans. And we have kind of a 90-day, everyone has kind of a 90-day plan in the business that they're working to, not just for the whole business, but for their area personally. And yeah, through that process, you know, I think I'm also able to translate ideas that I have or really invest time in sitting down, right, I'm going to spend a day or two here thinking about ideas that are going to help the business or creative ways to market the business or grow the business, et cetera.
Nice. So you are the idea man behind it. Would you?
Yeah, I'd like to think that. I mean, certainly as one of the things that changes as a business grows and as our team has grown is that you hire lots of great people around you that also have great ideas and often those ideas are different to yours. But I love coming up with ideas and solutions and love brainstorming and planning and focusing on the future.
Yeah. And so as like the CEO and founder of Design Crowd, you would take, say, quarterly goals for, I mean, we're heading into a new year and a new quarter, quarterly goals. And then from that quarter, just trying to get my head around this, from that quarterly goals, then each day you wake up in the morning and you work on 6 things that either need to be done right now or push you towards achieving those goals?
Yeah. So basically, yes. Obviously, there'll just be things that you need to do that might not directly relate to, you know, what your top goals are. But at the start of each quarter, we try and come up with the top 3 goals for the business and then encourage people individually for their areas to come up with those top 3 goals. And then you create a plan towards that. You know, within the context of a given day, you might have all sorts of things. It could be like administrative tasks that you've been putting off or whatever it is, but I always find it useful to have those goals at a weekly level. Or for me personally, in a month, I might map out to-do lists that are more than just 6 things, and there might be a couple of pages of things I'd like to do. And when I do that, I'll have subheadings. So if, you know, one of my strategic, you know, themes for the quarter relates to getting partnerships, I might have like a partnership subheading and like 10 things under that, like 5 partners I'd like to contact or 3 existing partners I want to travel from Sydney to the US to meet with. And I think by having those kind of subheadings that either relate to your goals or the key strategies to achieve your goals, it keeps you on track and translates something from like a good idea or strategy into action, which is also important.
Yeah. I love the idea, especially of sort of the sprint style quarterly based. So it's not, here's my next year's goal, and it seems really long and hard to achieve.
Yeah, it does. And things move quickly, certainly for businesses, you know, in our space or in Design Crowd space, being a tech startup. And there's so much you can achieve within kind of a 3-month horizon. Yeah, but there are also things that you can't. So more recently, we've, I guess, been evolving our planning cycle internally so that we're not just focusing on things that can drive benefit within a 3-month horizon. That can be really effective, but it can also lead to some kind of short-term strategies or more tactical stuff. So recently we've started thinking about things using the McKinsey 3 horizon growth framework, which involves looking at kind of horizon 1, which is things that can help extend and grow your current business, but then the horizons 2 and 3, which relate to new business lines, new segments, things that aren't just necessarily extending, you know, Design Crowd and what you're doing today. And implicitly might take more resources or more time, might take more than 3 months to plan and design, build and take to market.
Yeah, fair enough. And so this is you with Design Crowd now. Design Crowd is, I mean, has spent, I'm going to say, what is it, 9 years now or so? You've been from start to now through rounds of funding, through just huge growth. But before that, you were a consultant for a while and then straight out of college. So we need to go back here somewhere if we can, Alec, because I want to figure out sort of, I know going through it, it doesn't always make sense, but looking back, it often does, right? There seems to be this time when, like in every entrepreneur's life, when they sort of reached a fork in the road where they either have this calling to make this huge difference or they just found that they couldn't work for somebody else anymore. Can you tell me where you see yourself of those two? And then take us back between consulting and starting Design Crowd. How did that sort of happen?
Yeah, sure. So going back, well, I'd say over 10 years, I studied programming and business at university. And while I was at university, I started reading about entrepreneurship and was studying programming because I was interested in innovation. And when I left university, I turned down, you know, jobs straight out of university with IBM and some banks in Sydney, a company, a US company that had a presence here where I'd done an internship, Oracle. And I decided to start my own business at that point. And that business wasn't Design Crowd. It was web-based CRM software. I think this was in 2001, 2002. And that business failed quite quickly. You know, I was fairly young. I was 21 at the time. And at that point, I joined a strategy consulting firm called Booz Allen Hamilton. And I did that to learn more about business, potentially do an MBA, and then hopefully start my own business again one day and be more successful. And I really enjoyed strategy consulting, and I learned a lot about business that certainly has helped me at Design Crowd. And it was actually while I was there that I had the idea for Design Crowd. And I was probably about 2 years into my time in consulting, and I was approaching the point in my career there where that firm would sponsor me to go and do an MBA. And I was interested in doing an MBA at Stanford. And some of my best friends from my time in consulting went and did that. And however, approaching that point is basically the point where I had the idea for Design Crowd. And the more I thought about the idea, I basically had a sense of urgency about pursuing the idea. I felt like the idea was a really strong one. And I ended up quitting my job there before I reached that point of doing an MBA and foregoing that opportunity and, you know, moving back home to live with the family home with my mom, taking 10 grand in savings and a laptop and starting work full time on the business in 2007. Really, the other part of your question, what led me to the idea. I guess going back even further, I'd been building websites, designing websites since I was in high school as a teenager, and I had a passion for programming and software and design and innovation. And looking at the design industry from the outside, because I was working in consulting, I wasn't a designer, but looking at the design industry from the outside, I could see a few challenges/opportunities. And they were basically in two buckets. First bucket was for businesses buying design. My perception was that buying design was a slow process, an expensive process, and it could be kind of an uncertain or risky process for businesses. And then for designers, the other half of the market, my perception was there were lots of talented designers in the world that had qualifications or perhaps didn't, but would struggle to break into the design industry and find work, whether they were in Australia or the US, or whether you were a talented designer in Eastern Europe or Asia, you know, looking to, you know, living on $15 a day, but looking to earn $15 an hour. And what I could see was an opportunity for a marketplace if a marketplace and solution could address both those sets of problems. And that's what Design Crowd aims to do. And the one thing that I saw before I started the business that really crystallized these problems for me was in 2007, the London Olympics logo was announced. This is the 2012 Olympics. The logo was revealed in 07. And it was revealed that logo cost £400,000. It took 1 year to make, and basically everyone hated it. The media panned it, the public didn't like it. A lot of well-known designers didn't like it either. And I thought to myself, wow, imagine if instead of spending $500,000 with an agency that offered $100,000 or $50,000 and run an open global design competition, what if they'd crowdsourced that design from designers around the world? I knew just instinctively that there would be thousands of designers from around the world who would be interested and would submit their designs. I felt they would certainly get a better design, and I knew they would save a lot of money, maybe $500,000. And I knew it would be quicker as well. So that example for me was one that crystallized those challenges / the opportunity. And in the end, Design Crowd, you know, helps small businesses and entrepreneurs around the world overcome those set of problems, often at much lower budgets, when getting design.
Yeah, I love it. I love that you had saw that Olympic logo and that crystallized it for you, because that's so true. So you're a trained programmer. You tried a web-based CRM. It failed. You went into consultancy to learn about business, but you could have went onto Princeton to get an MBA, but you came up somewhere in this idea of a marketplace for designers and for people looking for designs. What do you feel that you learned in consultancy that was enough that to kind of regain your confidence from that first failure of a business when you thought, I need to learn more about business first, but I don't actually need to go to Princeton and get an MBA?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that I didn't know everything that I needed to know when I started Design Crowd, because, and in that respect, you know, I was naive. I was but 23, and it was the right time to take a risk in that respect. And I think over the last 9 years, I've learned a lot of things along the way as I've gone, and you know, made a bunch of mistakes as well, and you learn from those too. And perhaps there are things that I've learned along the way that an MBA could have taught me, and maybe there are some other things that you can only learn by doing. Not having done an MBA, I don't know. Yeah, but I think the experience in consulting, some of the things that I spent time working on there were either essentially projects that were growth strategies. So how are you going to help grow this business? And oftentimes they were banks or oil companies. But a couple of times I got to work on projects for pretty large and sometimes listed online Australian businesses, and some of them were marketplaces. And some of the strategies I worked on for these different businesses included, you know, international growth strategies, which for an Australian business is, you know, particularly relevant. Now, the market here and population is often, you know, much smaller, obviously, than the US market or the global market. So for an Australian business, more so perhaps than a US business, expanding internationally can be quite important. I learned a lot of analytical skills, so my ability to forecast and build models in Excel, for example, became quite strong in consulting. And then I think the other area that was quite interesting was sort of learning to write an amazing deck or PowerPoint, and then all the kind of frameworks, strategic frameworks that exist that you get exposed to in consulting. Learning at least some of those has been really helpful. And one that comes to mind is that I've used a lot is a strategy on a page, which is a framework where you try and communicate your vision for the business and then your strategy and maybe three strategic themes and then some initiatives under them for the next, call it 3 years, on a single page. And I've always found that as a framework to be a really powerful way to communicate with potential investors, potential employees, your current employees, of course, and your team, what's the vision for the business and what's our plan, and a way to kind of capture your ideas for the business and communicate them to the team in a really clear way. Yeah.
I like that. A strategy on a page.
Mm.
Huh, I've never heard of this. And this is a framework that exists.
Yeah, it's really common. If you Google strategy on a page, I mean, there are loads of examples and resources.
That's awesome.
So typically it has kind of a vision, maybe your mission, vision statement at the top, and two or three goals that you'd like to achieve in 3 years. And that kind of encapsulates, in theory, kind of the headline vision. And then how you're going to achieve that is kind of underneath that. And it'll often be like three columns or three pillars with kind of strategic theme. So for us, a couple of those have been, you know, scale the business globally. And then initiatives under that might be scale different marketing channels, scale partnerships, scale sales, our sales team, for example, scale our customer service and make it, you know, 24/7 and global. So that, you know, to make that really concrete, that's involved hiring a team of 20 odd customer service representatives and setting up an office in the Philippines that operates 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Hiring multilingual customer service staff. And so that enables us to service customers in Australia, the US, and now some countries in Europe that, you know, German speaking clients, French speaking clients, Spanish speaking clients.
So let's try and put this all together if we can. We started out, your one thing is having ideas, and sort of everyone in the company has ideas around their 3-month goals. And then this idea on a page, which then allows you to sort of talk about, like, push your initiatives, or as we can call them, projects. So whether that's, like you said, marketing channels or sales or customer service. You told us in this how you came up with the idea for Design Crowd. This is when you were literally by yourself still at your parents in the garage making this happen. But now you have a significant team around you. So can you tell me, under you as the CEO, how do you, and like, is it a written process or just an internal gut process? But what is this process you go through to determine when a project or initiative is worth you and your team's time, energy, and resources?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing we start with is what we're trying to achieve and basically our goals. And we actually start with kind of generally every quarter or especially every year, what are our goals for that period? We try, as I said earlier, we try and land on the top three goals. And I think that's really important before you start discussing or landing on and prioritizing ideas and plans, because you want your activity to be laser focused on achieving what it is you want it to achieve. So that's kind of the first step to coming up with the right ideas and deciding what those are. So we start with landing on and agreeing what's our goal here. And then we go through a process of brainstorming goals. And I think brainstorming is important for a few reasons. One, it's enjoyable. It's a way to generate creative ideas and new ideas. It's a way to create engagement with your team as well. And our process generally, well, we've tried a bunch of different things, but oftentimes we'll put up large pieces of paper, like butcher's note paper, and give each one we'll agree kind of general themes, like titles that might be marketing or partnerships or product or, you know, designer community, etc. And there might be a dozen of those, and we'll brainstorm goals for those areas, which are sort of sub goals to achieve the overall goals. And then we'll brainstorm ideas that will help achieve those goals. And you always brainstorm and come up with way more things than you can do. So once you go through that process, it's then about picking the best ideas and prioritizing. And I guess that comes down to cost benefit, your confidence that those ideas are going to work. And oftentimes ideas you might have an initiative that you want to pursue, and you might be super certain and super confident that it's going to work. And other times you'll be like, you know what, honestly, this is 50-50, or it's a 20% chance this will work. And really that should play into your thinking as well. But what we end up doing is then trying to prioritize and pick a set of things that we think we can achieve in a particular time period with the team that we've got and the capital that we've got. And next to each of those things, we'll try and estimate what's the benefit of doing this. And if you tally up the benefit of all those initiatives, you basically want it to exceed your goal, because a bunch of them won't work. As I said before, you know, many of them might be, you know, 50-50 at best, and things often take longer than you expect. So
they do.
one of our angel investors, whenever I put a plan to him kind of in the early years of the business, he would say, whatever you put to me, I'm going to assume it'll take twice as long and cost twice as much. And it often does. So that's part of I guess what I've described there is kind of a summary of how we try and arrive at what are the best ideas, or what's the final plan for a particular period, whether that be kind of a quarter or a longer period, a year.
And your whole team, with the exception of the customer support in the Philippines, is out of Sydney?
Basically, yeah. So,
or are you distributed too?
We're somewhat distributed. So we have about 45 staff. Around 20 are in Sydney, around 20 are in the Philippines. And then we have a few people working remotely, and we have a small office in the US as well.
Excellent. Yeah, because you seem really focused on collaboration. And I mean, I guess it goes back to the ideas, right? Like you say, like, what are our goals? You kind of discuss that, but then you brainstorm it out with your team from there and really like putting everybody's mind to work on the problem rather than just you as the CEO and founder trying to determine where the ship is heading.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So I've always got my own view and a bunch of ideas myself, but we have like an incredible team. I have a really talented leadership team around me as well, and they're full of ideas also. So yeah, I think as you grow the business, you need to hire great people, and the business needs to benefit from their ideas as well. And, you know, many minds are always better than one.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Alec, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I could.
Sure.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this gap sometimes that we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, that to ourselves, we always project our successes into the future. So next quarter, when you hit your goals, or in 6 months, when you hit that certain metric, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet you and I both know that this minute before you hit that goal, you're going to set five bigger ones into the future, which I agree we need to do. But at the same time, it's like walking towards the horizon. The further you walk, the further away it always gets. From the outside, this is your second run at a business and you're absolutely kicking ass with it. But to you, I'm sure you still see all these places you want to go with it. I would like it right now if you could stop and look behind you, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, but tell me how you feel about the whole journey up until today.
Yeah, I mean, I feel really proud of what I've achieved when I do take time to reflect on that. And I like to do that kind of at the end of the year, each year. It's sort of obviously December now as we record this. And I mean, one of the things that I've built as a habit personally, we haven't kind of touched on so far, is sort of reflecting on what's going well. And sometimes, and particularly in the first 2 years of the business, like running a business can be hard. And yeah, you know, I certainly found it's been a roller coaster. Like you have highs and lows, and then yeah, you keep planning for the future and what's next. But part of, I think, what helps meet and overcome the challenge, or has been for me personally, is kind of acknowledging what's going well. And sometimes that's like at the end of each day, kind of sitting down and going, hey, what did I do well today? Or what was great about the people I worked with today? Or what did we achieve today? And sometimes it's, I suppose when you're at the stage that I'm at now, having just hit 9 years in the business, kind of reflecting on what have I learned through this process? What have I achieved? What impact on people or the world has my business had? What impact has Design Crowd had? And I feel really proud of that. You know, we've hit, I think, over $45 million of payments to designers around the world. And our top designer in the last year, I think, hit $1 million of earnings. And wow. Every time this designer hits a milestone, he sends gifts to our office in Sydney from India. And sometimes he sends like really touching notes. And it's always a reminder of the impact that Design Crowd, that our business can have, or certainly one area of impact that we can have, which is really meaningful and is part of our mission statement, which is to give designers around the world opportunity to earn money and be creative regardless of their location or language or, you know, education. And yeah, I think things like that, reflecting on you having a clear purpose for what you're doing and looking at the achievements that you're making personally every day, or the achievements that and the impact on the world that your business is having, yeah, is very rewarding.
Yeah, I would think having that much of an impact on like so many people, using like a marketplace like yours that just affects so many people on both sides of, I mean, basically you have, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like you have two customers with each transaction and you do a ton of transactions. So it's the scale and magnitude of the effect you have on people around the world is amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right. We have two sides of the market. And the other side is all the businesses and entrepreneurs that we're helping every month and every year. You know, we're approaching sort of $20 million in revenue or projects every year going through the platform. And so many of those are logo design projects for entrepreneurs launching their, you know, their own dream. And, you know, it's loving design and creativity. It's really stimulating and rewarding every day to go into the office and look at projects where a customer is, you know, writing a brief excitedly about their new idea, and then seeing 100 designers from around the world upload logo designs, which are in some cases helping that entrepreneur for the first time translate their own idea into reality. Yeah, and so that's really exciting as well, knowing that we've helped so many entrepreneurs take a step, or sometimes the first step, to launching their business.
Yeah, I love it. So designcrowd.com is the website. Logo design, web design, flyers, t-shirts, brochures, business cards, really anything sort of design-based that you could want. And I honestly don't know why, if you needed a logo designed or a t-shirt or a website, I don't know why you would anymore go and just try and find that perfect one person, because anytime I've tried that, it's never worked out. But being able to just like submit your job and then have 25, 50, 100 people from around the world apply to it as they wish, it's amazing.
It's, yeah, well, we'd like to think it's the best way to get design done. And, you know, I mentioned the challenges with the traditional design process earlier. And we like to think our crowdsourcing process is faster, cheaper, and just simply kind of more creative than that process of trying to find one designer or one design studio and relying on them. You know, we've now got over 500,000 designers registered on the platform. So you can literally access more designers through Design Crowd now than you can if you door knocked every design studio in Australia or the UK or the US. So that's, you know, extremely powerful. And yeah, thanks for mentioning the website address there. We've also got, probably know, a special offer for your listeners if they'd like to.
We do.
To use the service, which is, we've got a page up at designcrowd.com/hack with up to $100 discount for your listeners if they do need help with any pieces of design and would like to try Design Crowd.
Yeah, there you go. I just went to the page. It looks awesome. If nothing else, go check it out. But it's designcrowd.com/hack. And it's, I guess, four simple steps. It says post a brief, get 25 to 100 plus designs, get feedback and revise, and then choose the one you wish. That's it. Alec, I've wanted to have you on for a long time. I'm so happy that we got to sit down and chat and share it with the listener. So thank you once again so much for taking the time and for sharing so much. And please just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, my pleasure. As entrepreneurs, we know the value of good branding. From social media posts to blog post images, solid branding makes us stand out from our competitors, increases the perceived value to our customers, and adds another level of professionalism to our businesses. But it's not easy for people like you and I who aren't designers. Luckily, Snappa was built to make graphic design easy for entrepreneurs, to up their branding game, and to take their business to the next level. Go to snappa.io/hack and get a 14-day free trial, no credit card necessary, just for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. That's snappa.io/hack. Alec, thank you so much for joining me once again. Thank you for sharing so openly. And thanks for making the time work from, you know, Australia to Canada. There's a serious time difference. So I'm glad we finally got a chance to make that work, because I learned a lot from talking to you about the idea. I mean, just the sheer magnitude sort of the idea that you are tackling is awesome and it's inspiring. So it's really, really cool to get to kind of sit down with you and see how you're building that out. And then to also get to go back, because we've reached that point in the conversation now where I need to go back and I need to listen to the conversation as you out there listening originally. And so I did. I went back through the conversation and then I went back again. That second time through the conversation, there was one thing I hadn't noticed before, but was so clear to me. There was this one thing that Alec said that was, it was just that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Joined a strategy consulting firm called Booz Allen Hamilton. And I did that to learn more about business, potentially do an MBA, and then hopefully start my own business again one day and be more successful.
And that's the hack. Alec. I love this. This is the idea behind knowing, like being self-aware enough to know that you need to learn more about business in order to build the business that you envision yourself building. And using another company or a job or someone else's company that you can work for to learn those things. You said impossibly to go get an MBA, but that wasn't necessary because you became a strategy consultant. You got to look at other people's businesses. You got to see and learn the side of the business that you didn't feel that you knew enough of. And then that also gave you the idea. You saw the sort of opportunities and challenges within the design, traditional design industry. And it gave you the idea for Design Crowd, which you have now scaled to an enormous magnitude. And it's because you sort of fulfilled or filled in the weaknesses that you saw that you had. So the idea behind this is that you need to really be aware. You need to really stop and think about what your strengths and what your weaknesses are. And sometimes you might notice that you don't know maybe everything that you need to know to execute properly on the company that you envision. You can do like Alec, if that is the case, and you can go work for a company that is like the company that you, if you want to build a software company, go work for a software company for a while. If you want to build a consulting company, go work for a consulting company for a while, like one that you admire and that you feel is something that you would like to strive for, and just see what it's like from the inside. Learn as much as you can. Grow and grow personally and grow like with the business mindset from within and keep that entrepreneurial spirit. And then when you're ready, step out and start your own. It's a brilliant strategy. I love it. Alec, thank you so much. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com. It's the place to be. Head on over there and I'll get the show notes up for Alec, and you can check him out there, as well as the artwork we're creating with Snappa. Snappa is one of our cool sponsors for this first quarter, and you should go check out. We had stopped creating artwork because it was kind of getting to be a real pain in my ass. And so we've started again because now we have Snappa. I hadn't heard of Snappa before, and now I have, and now we use it every single day on the show. So head over there, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You can check out Alex's show notes, and you can see the artwork there. And then if you wish, you can sign up, use Snappa in your own business. All right, it's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. Please know that I do truly 100% appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.